Father, these are sobering words, and as we turn our attention to them, Lord, I ask you to speak. Lord, it is you who we need to hear from today, not me. It's your word that is effective in our lives. It's not mine. And so, Lord, would you let our hearts be attentive? Would you open up our minds so that we can think seriously about these words? Because this is your word. And Lord, we often use words. We use words every day. And they contain great power. And so I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be at work in each of our lives, allowing us to hear what we each need to hear. God, some of us use words that bring death. And I pray you'd convict us of it. And may we get inspired and passionately moved to use words to bring life. So move us in the direction we each need to be moved. Our trust is completely in you and not on ourselves. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. It's you who convict of sin. It's you who motivate us towards righteousness. It's you who transform hearts and minds. And Lord, we need these words. We need them to sink into our heads. We need them to sink into our souls so that we can be shaped and molded more and more like you, Jesus. That's what we want. I pray for your help in doing so. Through Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here for the first time, you find yourself wondering, what is it we're up to? We've been pondering the presence of smartphones in our lives. That came from Proverbs chapter 4, where we see an invitation to ponder the path of your feet, and that also applies to pondering the taps of your fingers. And smartphones have become so integrated into our lives, it's almost as if they are another appendage. And so as we ponder our use of smartphones, that's what we're doing today. And we come to this particular aspect of smartphones in the usage of words. And I want to say up front, I have no one particular in mind in talking about this topic. Because there were a couple people who said to me, have you been listening? I saw the sermon title. Have you been listening in to my conversations this week? I have nobody in mind, I promise you. So if you find this resonates with you at any level, it's not me who's trying to impress something upon you. But it just very well might be the Lord. Because there are power in words. And this is the main idea. If you go home and hear nothing else I say, I want you to consider the fact that what we find and discover is there are power in words. There is. Words, you've heard it as a kid, sticks and stones will never hurt me. I mean, what might hurt me, but words, how does it go? I can't even remember. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You can tell, I didn't plan to say that, right? But yet, words do hurt us often. And I am mindful of an event when I was about in the fifth grade. I got strep throat and missed some standardized testing. Had to take that on a special occasion and went back to the school with my mother to get the assessment of the standardized testing, which I was horrible at standardized testing. And so the teacher who was offering my mother an assessment of my mental abilities and the value of my life based upon this score went into a room and closed the door and told me to stay outside. So I did. I sat down around the side of the door and I'm waiting out there and I'm not actually trying to listen to anything that's going on inside. But of course, there's this little impulse to, what are they saying, right? And so it was muted and off in the distance. And what I heard, I'm not quite sure if this actually was spoken or not, but what I heard, as clear as a bell, was that the assessor said to my mother, "He's disgustingly average." It's bad enough to be average, but to be disgustingly average says a lot. And you know, my mother tells me that's not actually what was spoken, but I'm quite sure I heard that. And even if it wasn't spoken, I heard it. For years, I heard that statement. And inwardly, though I rarely, if ever, spoke it, that's what I thought about Todd Cravens. He's disgustingly average. until my wife made me promise never to say that ever again. It was years into our marriage, and she said, can you just stop it? Don't ever say that. I want you to promise me you'll never say it again. So I just broke my promise right in front of all of you. Because I did. I promised I'd never say it again. But it released me. The little conversation between me and my wife released me from that sort of bondage that I was under. Words have power. And I don't know if you've had some assessor tell you you're disgustingly average or some sort of thing, but there are words that lodge in our soul that can shape not only what we think about ourselves, but also about our lives. And yet, there is words that bring eternal life. So today, this passage in James, which is particularly painful to hear. I don't know if you were listening to Herschel as it was being read. That portion of scripture on words is incredible. I think James probably had an assessor say something similar about him. Because all of the ways in which he describes words is incredibly powerful. But the point is, there is power in words. Don't underestimate them and use that power wisely. So what we see, James says some pretty incredible things. He says, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. A tongue is a very small member, and yet your body is big, your muscles are large. And I don't know how many of you have heard this. How many of you have ever heard that the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body? Anybody ever heard that? It's not true. It's a lie. There's some jaw muscle that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. I have a doctor sitting here saying, yes, that's right. This is the strongest muscle. It's still related to the mouth, though, which is fascinating to me. And yet, James says, if you can keep your tongue under control, you can govern the rest of you. And this, for some of us, is a great challenge. And yet, here we find it. And he uses some very vivid examples, right? Bits in the mouths of horses. You can control the whole direction. Horses are huge. And yet, if you put a little bit and you get a hold of each side of that bit, you can direct the horse wherever you want that horse to go. Massively powerful, contained and controlled by a little tiny bit in the mouth. Or, he says, think about a ship. Massive ships are controlled by little tiny rudders. You can direct the whole course of a huge being, a ship or a horse, just by little tiny members. And he goes on and he says, think about a fire, right? Massive fires that engulf, think about the California wildfires last fall, right? Over, what was it, 160,000 acres were consumed in the camp, I think it was called the camp, fire in the consumed Paradise Falls, or Paradise. 85 people died in that. One spark ignites a kind of a forest fire. Small things have massive impact, is James's point. And he says, think about your words, because the tongue is like that. A very small member, and yet can do massive damage. So we have learned how to tame every animal on the planet, and yet James says, who can tame his tongue? And I think probably if we had enough time, every person in this room could probably think of some wounding that you have incurred of someone else's mouth. Every one of us have. And yet we realize there's great power for the enemy to use our words, because James particularly notices our tendency is to allow our tongues to give vent to the venom that's within us. If you just read this passage, you'll realize that James has a very low opinion of the inherent goodness of humanity. Right? He says the tongue is set on fire by hell, and it sets stuff on fire, even the entire course of your life. You make boasts of mighty things. This little muscle can say magnificent things that change the whole direction of your life. Like, famous quote, hey, y'all, watch this. Right? I can do it. I can leap. How many of you have seen those videos where people just like, Can their lives ever be the same? Heads get banged onto concrete. Guys are jumping off of this and that. Why? We want to impress. We can boast about things that we do. We say, I can do anything I want to do. I'm going to try it. And sometimes we wind up with the consequences that have long-lasting effects on our entire lives. So loud boasts from little members of our body can affect our entire life. What has been the effect of words in your life? Both maybe on you, but are we aware of the words that we use in sharing our own thoughts to the people around us? Because James says something here. He says, with this little tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, verse 9, and with it we curse the people who are made in the image of God. He said, these things ought not to be. With this tongue, we bless God. Let's just say we come in front of all of our friends and we want to impress everybody around us. And so we can say wonderful, flowery, praise-giving things, long prayers where everybody's impressed. And yet we turn around and you get home and you cut everybody in the family down to size just because you're upset. Words are powerful. James says these things ought not to be. It ought not to be the case that we praise God in public, thank God and praise Him, speak of His wonders, power, from our nice preacher voice and so on. And yet we turn right around and we come home from work and what pops out? These things ought not to be. And James says something striking. He says, can a fig tree yield olives? Can grapevines produce figs? Can a freshwater spring yield salt water? What's the answer? No. So I think James is the brother of Jesus. Well, I don't think that. I know that. But what I think is on his mind as he is saying this is something that Jesus said while he was here. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people and he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Think about that for a second. The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. That scares me to death. And James has some words for teachers like me, teaching pastor, right? His first word is, let not many of you be teachers, because you're going to be held to a stricter standard. And those of us who spend a lot of time talking, we're going to be held to a higher standard. And then Jesus says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Either way, all right? There's death, the power of death in our words. There's a power of life in our words. What are we using our words for? And how can it be that that's true, Jesus, I'm asking? How can it be that my words are going to be the basis upon my justification or my condemnation? Well, it's because the words flow out of the heart, right? That which fills the mouth flows from what fills the heart. And Jesus says something stunning to me. You will know the tree by its fruit. And yet, that's just way too black and white. Because if you walk up to an apple tree and there are apples hanging on it and you say, what kind of tree is that? If there's apples on it, what are you going to answer? Apples, right? It has apples hanging there. It must be an apple tree. But no, I don't think so. I think really deep down inside, it feels like a banana tree. I know, I can tell. Yeah, the outward appearance is a little confusing, but actually it's a banana tree. And what does Jesus say? He blows me away by saying, you'll know a tree. The kind of tree is identified by what it produces. So if it's an apple tree, you're going to find apples on it. If something else is coming from it, figs, for example, that's a fig tree by the kind of fruit it produces. And he's not talking about trees, is he? What is Jesus talking about? You know what kind of heart you have by what kind of talk you have. No matter what you think. And we all think we have really good hearts. The whole world thinks we have good hearts, right? Everybody, if you ask somebody on the street, are you really good at heart? How many people are going to say, no, I'm actually quite evil, and you should probably get on the other side of the train from me? It's not going to happen. We all are impressed with ourselves. The whole world thinks we're good. And Jesus said, you can identify the heart by listening to the words. What flows out gives you an indication of what's in here. And that, to me, is deeply troubling. Because if all of us analyze our words over the week, what on earth does that say? We have some internal heart gardening probably to do. And so Jesus says, I know what kind of heart there is based on what kind of words there are. Well, what does this have to do with cell phones, right? Smartphones. Well, I think this is a proxy for the tongue, isn't it? This is how we speak today. We let our voice be heard. We vote for things. We cast our vote. We affirm this. We comment on that again and again and again. Some of us in our culture today don't even know how to use these words. We just do this. And yet, what do I witness? I think I witness an increased amount of the freedom to say to anybody what's really in here. We just spout stuff off all the time without even thinking. And what that does is shows us what's really down here. So there's a passage in Proverbs. I think it's chapter 12, verse 18. It says, the rash words of a man are like sword thrusts, but the words of the wise bring healing. Right? There is a person whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Some of us have been cut by those. But the words of the wise bring healing. And I think this allows us to just spout off without any thinking. No filters. We don't stop to think. We just... off, I'll give him a piece of mine. Right? How dangerous that is. The smartphones allow us to see very, very clearly and very, very quickly the true content of our hearts. I think if Jesus is right... if I'm understanding the way some of us use smartphones, and our culture is just getting more and more harsh. Or is it? Is it just that we're now able to see that more clearly? I think smartphones just reveal what's already there a little more quickly and for everybody to see. Now, we have the ability to use this for good too, don't we? Right? There's an option. Proverbs 18:12 says, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. And those who love its fruit will enjoy it. And I think that goes either way, right? Those who love it, love what? Love, you love death? You're going to yield the fruit of your deathful speaking, your powerful, hateful words. If that's the way you are, you're going to reap the fruit of those kind of words. Or if you use your words for life and you're using the words for upbuilding, you're going to reap the fruit of that. I think that's the point. But here for me, I want you to see and think about this week, that verse. That's what I want you to go home with. There is death and life in the power of the tongue. Which is it going to be? And on what we tap and type and tweet, right? If this is an extension of our thinking, of our words, we're communicating with the world through our smartphones, then what is it we're communicating? Death or life? Hate or love? Because we do have some guidance of how we are to speak. Ephesians chapter 4, There's a couple of verses, one in Ephesians 4 and one in chapter 5. Paul says this. He says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." You're at work this week. You need to point out something difficult to a coworker. How are you going to do it? If you're a Christian, I'm assuming you're a Christian. You want to be pleasing in your words to the Lord. How are you going to do that? Well, just stop for a second and say, how can I build this person up? Right? I'm not trying to sever their soul, which sometimes we want to do. How can I use my words to get at what the problem is and build up? Right? There is a way to correct rightly. There is. There has to be. And yet here, don't do it for tearing down. Do it for the purpose of building up, that you may give grace. So let no corrupting talk. And then verse 4 in chapter 5 says this. Here's some advice for the water cooler this week. All right. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. No filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. Well, if the words coming out of our mouths are indicative of the content and the condition of our heart, how are we going to change our words? We need a change of heart, I think. I think that's what Jesus would say. If you need new language, it needs to flow out of a new heart. And I know a man who can do that. I know a living Savior who died to purchase the right to pour his Holy Spirit into anyone who would say, I need a change of heart. I need a change of heart. I need help. Will you send me the helper? Because you're not going to, if you want to impress people, you're not going to go home and white knuckle it and say, this week, okay, just no more cussing. It won't work. Promise you. First car you pull out on the road, somebody's going to pull out in front of you. Blew that one. If you intend to change yourself in your own strength, you will fail. But I do know a person who calls into being things that do not exist with the power of his word. You realize this entire world was created by a word. God spoke this world into existence. His word is life. He said, let there be animals that swim around in the ocean. And there was animals swimming around in the ocean. And he said, let there be stuff flying in the heavens. And there's all kinds of creepy stuff flying around in the heavens. He spoke life into existence. So if Jesus, he has the words of eternal life. Peter and friends, when they were hanging out with him, came to him and listened to his words. And one guard sent by the Pharisees said, I've never heard anybody talk like this guy. Never. And Jesus said some crazy stuff too, right? John chapter 6, Jesus said some pretty amazing things. And he says to his disciples, I'm the very source of life. Me. Physically, I am the very source of life. And it freaked everybody out. Many of his disciples, when they heard him say this, this is John chapter 6, verse 60. When many of his disciples heard him say this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said, do you take offense at this? You get offended by what I just said? He says in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, right? The flesh is no help at all. I'm right in telling you, you cannot change you by yourself because Jesus says it. But if you need life in your soul, he can give it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. When Jesus was saying, I am the source of life, he wasn't talking about his physical body. Because if you go back and you read chapter 6, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not going to have any part of me. And that's when everybody freaked out. Like, what in the world are you saying? He's explaining now what he's saying. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And then he says in verse 66, many of his disciples then after this turned away from and didn't follow him anymore. Like, I had enough of this guy. I'm going to go find another master. I'm not going to hang around with Jesus anymore. 67, so he said to the 12, are you guys going to take off too? Do you want to go and leave me? And here's Peter's words. Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. If we have believed, and we have believed and come to know, you are the Holy One of God. Change of heart only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. Our attitudes and the internal disposition of our soul can only be changed by the present work of the Spirit of God. Because otherwise, we will do nothing at all except wound people all around us. And yet, if you want to know this Savior, His Spirit is present. And He says, if you will come to me, all who will come to me, I will give you life. If you follow me, and He calls to His disciples, He says, follow me, start walking in my way, I will give you my own Spirit. That's His promise to His disciples before He ascended into heaven. Just wait, I'll give you my Spirit. And we have the ability to receive His Spirit today. If we trust in Him, our lives can be transformed. Your mouth can be changed by the Spirit of God, by the inner working of His Holy Spirit. Because we have the power to give life. Jesus has He is life. So He has the words of eternal life. We as Christians have been entrusted with a message that brings life. Holy life, eternal life, and transformed life. This is why we are commanded to speak. He says, go and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why? Because it's life and there is no life apart from Him. So we have been commanded to go to Kenya and New York City and where else? South Africa, in order to say we have life. Jesus is the one who carries life. We've been commissioned to take this to the ends of the earth. And people, the ends of the earth are here in Boston, also in Kenya, all around us. What's this message? Are you excited about the message of Jesus so much so that you can't stop talking about Him? This is the work of the Spirit. And yes, we all, like James says, we all fall short in many ways. I'm so glad he says we. If you go back to James 1, he says we all fall short in many ways. Anybody fall short a lot in here? Nah, not so many. Does anybody fall short?
Yes.
Confessing is good for the soul, by the way. That's why I ask you to raise your hand occasionally. You're in good company, and yet James says, if you can control your tongue, you can control the whole course of your life. So I'm not here to beat you up. I promise you, I'm not preaching this message to beat you up. I'm preaching this message to invite you to cry out to the Spirit of the living God to change what needs to be changed in you. And that includes what you tap and tweet and type, what you say and what you type. We're Jesus' representatives. We need to represent Him well. And what we say, how we go to work tomorrow, how we speak to our family, we are intended to be means of life. Jesus poured His life into us so that we could then share that life with everybody around us. This week, you have the opportunity to either let your words be instruments of death or life. That's our choice every week. We want to be confronted with God's word, and how are we going to respond? That's up to you. And you have a helper, a very present helper, the Spirit of God. So I'm going to pray, and I want you, just for a moment, I want everybody to sit still, even the worship team, just for a minute, and let's think, do I need the help of the Holy Spirit in my words, in my typing, in my heart, in the core of my being? Jesus, you walked this planet. You were tempted in every way that we are tempted. You know exactly what it's like to have an annoying coworker. You know exactly what it's like to have a member of your family that drives you bananas. You know exactly what it's like to come home from a long day and to have demands put on you that, you know exactly what it's like to be tempted to just speak the truth and scour somebody. And you never sinned. And you give your spirit to us. Holy Spirit, work. Do your work in our hearts so that we can glorify you. And Father, there might be someone in this room who does not know if they have your spirit. And I pray that today would be a day where that is made certain. Because you say, if we come to you and we ask you to save us, we confess with our mouths that we're sinners. We believe in our hearts that you died and rose on the third day, that we'll be saved. Jesus, pour out your spirit on us. Change our hearts, I pray. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing. Worship team, you can come.